Let me pray for us. Okay? God, we thank you for your word and for your presence, God, and just your love for us. And it is an amazing journey, God, to pursue you and to know you, God, and to know you more deeply and more affectionately and more intimately, God. So I pray now, God, just for our time, God, I pray that you would draw us, God, that you would woo us, God, into your heart and your innermost heart and embrace. God, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. A lot of the mothers left to go take care of the children, but happy Mother's Day. All right. Maybe I'll say it again when they come back. Thank you for your hard work. And I appreciate Tammy, and I appreciate you all just in all the things that you do. So thank you. And text and call your mom, and if she's around, and say happy Mother's Day. Okay. So I'm trying to scan the room here. When I was, I have a really strong memory that's imprinted in my brain from when I was 16 years old. It would be an overstatement to say that I was going to church. I kind of attended church once in a while. And somehow got roped into going into to a youth retreat. And I think Sang knows our former youth pastor. And he had the spinning spiritual gift too, right? He'd pray on you and just like, and I have this really stark memory, this just strong memory. Maybe I'll dramatize it a little bit. It sounds kind of dramatic, but it's the last night of the retreat. And Lisa, if you know Lisa, Ezra's mom was there, and Emily, Hannah's mom was there, and a few other people were there, right? And we've known them since those days, and it's just like the presence of God, and whatever words you want to use to describe people on their knees, they're laid out, they're crying, speaking in tongues, And I'm not a Christian. I'm very non-Christian actually at that point. So I'm standing there in the middle of the room, kind of like, okay, all right, there's just this all this stuff going on around me. And, I'm not going to fake it. I mean, I thought about it, right? But I was like, nah, I'm not going to fake it, right? I'm just going to stand here, right? And I have this exchange with God as I'm watching this happen, right, around me. I remember this. I said, God, I do think you're real, right? And it seems like you are having this really intense, affectionate, intimate time with these people, right? But not with me. And so I said, okay. I said, God, you do you and I'll do me, right? So I felt like there was like a fork in the road. And whatever God was to me at that moment, I said, God, you do you, and you keep doing that. And if you're not going to do that for me, then I'll go this way, And I was already going that way, but it was just kind of a way to verbalize it. And then, I go to college and go to fellowship, mainly to, check out the ladies and let me just be honest. That's why I went, right? It worked. Tammy and I got married, right? So, we got married later, right? But, Shane, just take some notes there, right? But there was, and then so I became a Christian, like, you know, towards the end of my freshman year, and it's kind of hard to explain. It was like, you know, because I was very non-Christian. I was very chasing the world, you know, just doing my thing and kind of partied out at that point. And you know, just thinking back on it, like coming to faith, there was this moment where I felt like, okay, God, I think you love me, even though I don't do anything for you. I have nothing to offer you, God, but you just keep like coming after me. You keep loving me. And then it like connected, at least intellectually, it connected. And I remember in college, you know, I was like, you know, you have this like radar, right? This internal mental radar, right? It's like, yeah, there's a lot of people in the fellowship. There's a lot of people that teach Bible study. They do small groups and all these things. But then there were like this like inner group of people, right? And you could just tell they like spent time intimately before God. You know, like you could teach a lot of stuff. You could teach a good Bible study. You could even lead praise well, like whatever, right? But then it's like, and I don't even know how to like describe it, but there was this like group of people, a small group of people. It's like, it wasn't like they were necessarily doing a lot, but you got this sense that they spent time in God's presence, you know, regularly. And I was like, man, I want to hang out with those guys, you know, because I remember that youth retreat, right? And I was like, man, you know, like there's people. And God is just like, you know, and I, you know, as a new Christian, I was like, I don't know what that means. I don't know. What does that mean to like know God? What does it mean to love God and love him affectionately? And it was, you know, like I felt the love of God, but it's like this journey, right? So I wanted to hang out with those guys, right? That were like, not everybody, right? I wanted to hang out with the guys that were like, I felt like, you know, were gazing upon God. And then that was like 20 years ago, right? And so, you know, fast forward to today, and I'm thinking back on that. I'm like, man, you know, this is a journey, you know? It's a journey to be intimate with God. You know, what does that mean? It's a journey, right? And Henry's been talking about it, right? We've been going through a sermon series, if you didn't know, called Seeking God. And he's been talking about how, you know, God is not interested in casual. He is the groom, and we, the church, are his bride. And he, the husband, wants this intense, passionate, affectionate, intimate relationship with his people, right? He doesn't want to date his people, right? He wants to, like, you know, he just wants to like get after it. And he wants us to get after it. And I think we see that in scripture, right? Like you see like from the Old Testament, even like the temple and the tabernacle, it's like there were layers. Did you know that? There were layers of the temple. And then in the center most inner part of the temple was the inner holy of holies. And it was a curtain, right? And the high priest went in once a year just to get into the innermost part to get the full force of God's glory, right? And then Moses, right? And Henry talks about this a lot, Exodus 34, right? Moses and him, you know, like, God, show me your glory, right? Like the audacity of that ask. God, like, I want more, right? I want more of you. And then Psalms, you know, when it says, this is Psalm 27, one thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of God all the days of my life, to gaze upon your beauty, right? It's like, what does that mean, right? Like, I just want to gaze upon you, God, all day, every day. And then Jesus comes along, and Hebrews describes Jesus as the radiance of the glory of God. He is the image of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He is radiating. I believe God created the sun and heat. Okay, this is what I believe, all right? as a pointer, because when you get close to like something that's really hot, like a fire pit or like a bonfire or something, like you feel it radiate on you, right? This is a side story, but I was, I don't know if Nate was there, but we were at this college retreat one time, and it just got out of hand. There was a bonfire. It turned into a bonfire. We had to call the fire department. And I remember we were like frantically trying to throw dirt on this fire that was growing outside, right? The pastor was there too. He was contributing to that, right? So, and like, I just remember there was like, I started getting scared. I was like, this thing is going to get out of control, this bonfire, right? And thank God the fire department came. But you could feel like the radiating of that heat, right? And being consumed by that fire. And Hebrews says, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his name. He is radiating the glory of God, right? On us. And then he dies on the cross, and, you know, the curtain of the inner Holy of Holies is split in two, and now we get access to that, to the innermost Holy of Holies, this presence and the glory of God. And here's like the wonderful news. If there's any, you know, like just great news of God. He wants that with you more than you want it with him. Isn't that great news? Like it's not all up to us. I mean, you know, God commands us to seek, and that's the sermon series that Henry's going through, seeking God, right? And so he wants that, but we love God because he loved us first. He wants that for you and I more than I want it for him, because he's God, you know? And just wonderful. So this life is just like, the last 20 years and the next however many years God gives me, it's just that journey, right? To like back in that youth retreat, right? What is going on with these people, you know? Like, I know Lisa right now doesn't look all like, you know, emotional, right? But like, I'm telling you, she was like laid out, you know, speaking in tongues and like, yeah, I've never seen someone cry so much, you know? And just like slobbery and, you know, and I'm just poking fun at Lisa a little bit, but you know, it's like, and so for the next 4 weeks, that's all introduction. For the next 4 weeks, I just want to maybe like a sub thing, you know, sub series or whatever, called Intimacy with God. Okay, seeking God, intimacy with God, and actually, I don't know why, you know, I don't know if I'm prophetic or what, I'm probably not, you know, but like, you know, like, I just felt like God was leading me to John 13 through John 17. It's actually connected. We talk a lot about John 17. I mean, you know, I do this too. I kind of cherry pick out of that. You know, a new commandment I give you, love one another, that comes from John 13. You know, the vine and the branches, that's John 15. You know, be one as I am one, that's John 17. Right, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's John 14. It's actually all connected. John 13 through 17 is after Jesus comes back into Jerusalem on the pathway leading to the cross, the week leading up, what we call Holy Week, right? Good Friday, Easter Sunday. That week leading up is in the upper room. John 13 through 17. So there's something about, I don't know, I'm hoping as I'm going through this, I'm hoping there's something in there, in that upper room, where Jesus is having this intimate exchange with his disciples leading up to the cross, right? And you know, I think Jesus has a lot of intimate exchanges. You know, don't get me wrong, right? But I'm hoping that there's something in that John 13 to 17 that we can pull out to feed us, to that will be God's word for us, to teach us what it means. What is it that burns in the innermost heart of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King? I feel like he might share some of that, you know, in the upper room, right? Like the few days leading up to the cross when he's got his disciples. And the interesting thing is like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three of the four gospels, they don't really talk about the upper room, actually. They say, like, well, you know, like, I mean, there was, they talk about it, and they did the sacraments, and they broke the bread, and, you know, and they did communion. But John specifically, the Apostle John, who wrote the gospel the latest, is what historians think, right? So Matthew, Mark, Luke was written first, and then he's writing the last one, the book of John, to supplement the other three. He goes extensive, right? Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. He goes extensive, like frantically writing everything that Jesus is saying, you know, in that upper room. Because there's something, right? There's something, I think, there about that heart of God, right? The heart of Jesus Christ and what he wants us to know, right? And I think I hope we'll see it. I feel like I was kind of seeing it as I was reading through it. Like, at the end of the day, he uses this language, actually. You'll see a little bit of it today. It's like, he wants intimacy. He wants intimacy with his disciples, you know? And when you think about, like, the vine and the branches, right? Like, you got to abide in me, right? Abide in my love. Make them one as we are one, right? John 17. So there's this intimate language. So intimacy with God, four parts. Today we'll start with sharing in Christ. Okay, so let me read John 13, 3 through 35. This is God's word. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, my King, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." And Peter said to him, which is probably what we would say, "God, you will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you will have no share with me." That word share is like joining or participating, okay? You can't be a part of me if I don't wash you, okay? And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean." Let's jump to verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am so. For so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you." Jump to verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." There's something intimate that's happening in that moment when Jesus is... In particular, John calls out the exchange with Peter, and Peter resists, right? And Jesus makes this statement, you know, "If I don't wash you, you can't join me in what I'm doing, right? You can't connect with me." So I wanna like pull that apart into two points, because you know, you see that Jesus says, "If I've washed your feet, then you ought to wash one another's feet." I think we should just understand, right? I think we can agree that Jesus doesn't mean hey, you just gotta like 15 hours a day, you just gotta be washing people's feet, right? It, like, it's not like the physical act, right? I mean, like, I love washing feet, right? I mean, we do it for our church, we do it for membership, it's wonderful, right? Wonderful ceremony, wonderful in serving one another. But it means something more than physical cleansing, right? It must. It must mean something more. So when Jesus says, go and do as I have done, love one another as I have loved you, like, we got to understand what happened when he washed his feet. Like, theologically, what happened? Spiritually, what was Jesus doing when he was cleansing, in particular, Peter's feet, right? Because whatever that is, the spirit of that, Jesus takes all of John 13 to kind of like lay that out. Do as I have done. Love one another as I have loved you, right? So there's something intensely spiritual about what he was getting at with washing of the feet. And I think there are at least two things, maybe more. And the first one is sharing in Christ to serve the undeserving and sharing in Christ to cover debts. Okay. So let me read again John 13, 6 through 10, just to set this up. To talk about what it means to serve, when Jesus is serving the undeserving, okay? He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus said to him, if I don't wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. One of the hardest things to do, I think, and I think you would agree with me, is to serve someone joyfully when you don't believe that they deserve it. Okay? It's hard at work, all right? It's hard in marriage, all right? It's hard when your kids are acting up. There's this thing called deservedness, okay? It's a mental, it's in your mind, and it's in your heart. We all have it, okay? I have it, you have it, okay? There's a mental calculator going on all the time, right? You're observing church, you're observing me, you're observing one another, you're observing coffee time, you're observing lunch time, right? At work, at home, it's called the deservedness calculator, okay? And it's going all the time. That thing is flying, right? Picking up all the data and information. And you're in your calculator, you're making a determination, right, of deservedness. Who deserves your service and your affection and your love and, you know? And so, you know, and then that calculator goes bananas, right? When you see someone kind of like hanging around on the side, right? Everyone's contributing, rolling up their sleeves, and then someone's on the side, you know, just like on their phone or whatever, and they come and they criticize everybody, right? And your deservedness calculator is like, whoa, this guy's like, you know, their deservedness score is going really low, right? And that guy don't deserve nothing, right? You have it, I have it. The world has it, okay? We have a deservedness calculator, okay? A model. It's just running. It's calculating. It's called sin, by the way, right? It's just like, it's just going bananas, right? At work, okay? I hope no one from my work watches this. At work, the nature of my job, I have to see everyone's salary, okay? It's tough. It's tough. I wish I didn't have to. I wish I didn't have to see it, right? You know? It does not help my deservedness calculator, right? Because then I see the guy who's getting paid way more than I am lounging around, and my calculator's going bananas, right? And I'm like, my insides are burning, right? And it's the deservedness calculator, right? And we're ranking people and racking and stacking and like a credit score, and at this point in the story, okay, I didn't read this part, but it's actually weaved. If you read all through John 13, this is also where Jesus points out, like, Peter, you're going to betray me. Okay? Peter is about to betray Christ, his Lord, his King, his friend, right? Jesus has invested years into that friendship as his teacher. They've walked together, they've ministered together, they've ate together, they've slept together, they've journeyed together. Investment, right, in the relationship. He's teaching him, right? And Jesus, knowing this, I think, and Peter doesn't know this yet, right? Because Peter's like, Jesus, I'm never going to deny you, right? I deserve to be here, right? I will follow you to the end. And Jesus like, you don't know, you know? You're going to deny me 3 times. And so I believe, right, one of the things Jesus was doing when he was washing Peter's feet, he wasn't just serving him, right? Like, I think some people read John 13 and they see the foot washing and it's like this general service. Like, oh, let's go be service oriented, which is good, right? We should serve people, right? Serve people that are less fortunate, absolutely. Volunteer, donate, please, right? Go do that. But you know what's really difficult? Is when you just feel like they don't deserve it. And then you got to get on your knees and you got to wash them, right? And serve the undeserving. I think that Jesus is trying to show us, if you want to share with me, if you want to go where I'm going, if you want to connect with me, you got to learn how to serve the undeserving. Not just the guys and girls that are deserving, the least deserving, right? Because you know what? That's you and me, right? Yes, Peter betrayed Christ, but you know what? We betray Christ every day. I betray Christ every day. I turn my back on him, okay? When people ask me how my weekend was, and I'm like, oh, there's a little knot in my throat. Oh, it was good, and I went to church, you know? That covert Christianity, feeling ashamed of God, my God. That's betrayal. And yet Jesus comes, and he washes our feet, right? The undeserved. And he's like, so when he says, I've given you an example, go and do as I have done. Love one another as I have loved you. It doesn't mean 15 hours of foot washing every day, okay? It means serving people that least deserve it. And it's hard, right? I mean, you know, like, I don't have a lot to say about Tammy, but she has a lot to say about me, okay? You know, like, just the dishes and the cook. I mean, she just works so hard, you know? And then I come in and I criticize, you know, like, hey, there's a spot on my dish, right? Or something, I don't know, you know? And she's got to, like, serve, right? The undeserving husband or wife, you know? And so you got to see when Jesus says, go and do, I've given you an example, go and do it. It's not just washing, right? It's coming under the people that least deserve it. He says, love your enemies, right? Come under them. You got to learn that if you want to be intimate with God. And God's good. He's such a good God. He's teaching us, right? So then our arrogance comes and my ego comes and then he's got to humble us and we got to keep trying, you know? That's holy love, isn't it? Let me jump to John 13, 34 and 35, Chris. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. 35, by this
all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love like that. Okay? You want to be a good missionary. You want to be a good light in the world. You want to be a city on a hill. You want to be a church that has God's presence. You want to be like light this world on fire for God. You got to have that kind of love. How you love one another is how the world will know that you're my disciples. You gotta die and serve the undeserving. That deservedness calculator, sin and enemy, all day. It's me, okay? It's not just you, it's me, right? That calculator is going bananas, right? At work, right? And I gotta pray down the Holy Spirit, pray against the lies of the enemy and say, God, I'm here to serve, right? I'm here to work hard and serve like you did. That's the love. That's the holy and uncommon love that will set the world on fire. Okay. Number two, sharing in Christ to cover debts. Similar, a little different, similar, okay? So the first thing Jesus did, I believe, was to wash Peter's feet to come under his betrayal and serving, showing Peter that he was serving him when he did not deserve it. But the second thing I think he does is he cleanses him, right? He says, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And he says later in verse 10, the one who has bathed doesn't need to wash. So he's saying, Peter, you've been saved once and for all. I don't need to like cleanse your whole body, right? But I do need to keep washing your feet. I do need to keep cleansing and covering debts in order for you to connect with me. Let me read Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 to 24. This is Jesus talking. He says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, okay, if you're coming to God and you're trying to be like close to God, you're trying to worship God, you're trying to connect with God intimately, and there you remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. That is very interesting to me. We're like trying to be close to God, right? And what he's saying is like, if your heart is full of bitterness and resentment because people sin against you, right? I sin against you. You probably sin against me too, right? I mean, it's just life, right? Like, I mean, sometimes it's unintentional, right? Like, we just hurt each other, you know? We disappoint, right? We say things we shouldn't say. We joke around too much, you know, whatever it is, right? Or maybe it's deeper and more extensive than that. Someone's really hurt you, betrayed you, you know? I don't think this is heretical to say this. Like, I think Jesus was hurt. Does that make sense? Like, I think he was hurt. I think God was hurt by Peter's betrayal. Wouldn't you say so? It's like, well, can God's feelings be hurt? It's like, I think so. I think God's feelings can be hurt. You know? I think God can be disappointed. You know? I mean, he does it in God's way, in a holy way. So, you know, in a sense, Jesus needed to cleanse Peter, right? And he was giving an example. I'll tell you, if you have a grudge with someone, if you're resentful, you can't be close to them, okay? If you're holding a grudge against your spouse, you can't be intimate, right? If you're holding a grudge against someone at church, a member, you can't be close. You can fake it, right? But you can't, Jesus says, you can't share with me, right? And the crazy thing about Matthew 5 is that he connects intimacy with him vertically with intimacy with others horizontally. So if you're just like a prickly person and you can't get along with people, I think you're probably having a hard time connecting with God. Because it's connected. It's correlated, right? So what is Jesus' prescription? He says, go. And this is hard work. Reconcile, right? First, be reconciled to your brother and sister. And that takes hard work, right? That's not like an I'm sorry card and you just like throw it at them, right? You gotta like, Tammy and I got in a fight a couple days ago. We were up until 2:30 a.m. I'm like trying to make coffee and like stay up and like, you know, and like I was upset, she was upset, and, you know, like, and it's almost like we were playing chicken, right? Like, who's gonna fall asleep first, right? And I was like, I'm not gonna fall asleep, I'm committed to you, you know? Like, keeping my eyes open, right? It takes work, you know? And actually, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this. Like, at one point around 1 a.m., I was like, hey, Tammy, I'm just really tired. I gotta go to bed, right? And she got mad. She's like, is this not important, right? Like, is it not important for us to reconcile, you know? I was like, yeah, I'm preaching on Matthew 5. Like, yeah, you're right. It is important, right? And like, so I gotta like make coffee. I gotta put, you know, pins in my eyes to keep myself awake because it's hard work to reconcile and to connect and to be intimate. And if I'm not willing to do that with her, right? Like, you know? 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, it's interesting. Peter writes this, right? Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. So Jesus, in the act of washing feet, right? It's not just, please don't take away and go home and wash people's feet for 15 hours a day, right? It's relational. It's relational washing, right? It's serving the undeserved. It's preaching the gospel against your deservedness calculator and saying, God, that's me, right? I don't deserve it. And you wash my feet. And then it's coming and it's learning the hard reconciling work of loving one another and love covering and cleansing debts, right? Relationally. And then Jesus says, as I have done to you, now you go and do to one another. If you want to share with me, you want to join me in what I'm doing, that's what I'm doing. And I don't have enough time to go into, well, how do we do that? Right? Maybe next week, right? The Holy Spirit, right? John 14. But I hope you see that as a wonderful, difficult, but wonderful journey in growing in our intimacy with God. It's not just, I mean, it's touchy-feely. Yeah, you know, it's emotional. It's wonderful, right? But it's also joining him to do what he's doing. You see what I'm saying? When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, right? And you will find rest. It's like yoke is a connection. It's a thing that binds cattle together and has them walk in a straight line together. So Jesus is saying, come, if you want to be intimate with me, if you want to join me in what I'm doing, share with me, right? Connect with me. And go where I'm going. Do what I'm doing. Serve. Cleanse. Reconcile. Wash. Right? One another. All right? Let's pray. God, we invite you now. God, just as we frankly, God, struggle through this, God. God, would you humble us, God? Would you humble my ego? And come against my entitlement and my arrogance, God. Help me to be like you, God. And because I want to join with you, God. I want to know you, God. We want to know you so intimately. And so, God, I just pray now that the Holy Spirit would come and help us to do the supernatural, which is to love as you loved, God, and to find that as joy and privilege, God, that we get to join you, God. And you promise, God, that you will just fill us, Lord, fill us with great joy and hope in our service, God. So I pray for husbands here, God, that they would serve their wives and their children. I pray for wives, God, that they would humbly serve their spouses and their children. God, I pray for our church members, God. Give us your strength, God, to serve as you served, to love, God, in that way. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.